Brothers and sisters, as you think about our passage in Joshua this evening, I want you to try to imagine being there on this day that's recorded in Scripture. After the battle, after the victory, and that you are there as one of the captains of Israel that's mentioned in this text. You see, I believe this passage is very much written in this sense intended. You're meant to see yourself in that position, in that role in this Scripture. We're not always meant to read ourselves into Scripture in a certain way, but this is a particular point of view that this passage wants us to stand in as we're listening to this passage. And I want you to imagine you're watching as you see Joshua bringing out these five Amorite kings from the cave. And then he makes them lie down in the dust. These five once terrifying enemies who sought to destroy you and destroy God's people. Men who as kings would have claimed that they were semi-divine, chosen by their gods. And now here they are, humbled in the dirt. And you have just witnessed God's incredible power, the hailstones upon the enemy, the sun pausing in the sky in response to Joshua's prayer. Joshua, in your eyes, he's a living legend. He's a holy man of God. This is Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man. Joshua, who went up Mount Sinai and who went into the tent of meeting, whom God has chosen and anointed and the leader of Israel. Joshua, who's been given divine power to cross the Jordan and tear down the walls of Jericho. And then Joshua says to you, come, put your foot on the neck of these defeated kings, these frightening enemies, now defeated by Joshua. Put your foot on their necks to symbolize the victory of God's people. And then you hear Joshua say to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies. See, Joshua knows there's many more battles to come. There's even fiercer, more frightening enemies. There are giants yet to fight. But the whole point of this is that Joshua is teaching God's people. He's giving them courage. See what God can do. I mean, this whole chapter is recorded in this way in the Word of God, so that future generations will come and look at this and say, see what God can do. Do not fear his enemies. Go forward in faith. You could say Joshua's part was to begin the conquest and to make such a beginning, to establish such an entrance into the land that in his time there would be such a crushing defeat of the Canaanites and the Amorites, they would never recover, and then it would be up to the rest of Israel to fight those last few remaining battles. But here he is like a teacher, and it's like a striking visual lesson. Trust the Lord. He will defeat your enemies. Victory is in his hands. So go on and finish the mission. I imagine the more spiritual amongst those captains, they'd be reminded of the promise from the Garden of Eden, of a Savior who will crush the devil's head beneath his foot. And that here in a small way, in a small picture, they could see something of that future promised victory of the Savior. Now that surely, isn't it, a moment and an image that would have stayed with those men the rest of their lives. And there would be dark days in the future when they'd go to battle and there'd be an army arrayed against them, far superior, far stronger, setting out to destroy them and their families and the people of God. And at that moment, they would remember, you remember Joshua and our foot on the neck of those enemies, the victory, the power of God. Now, my point to you tonight, really, brothers and sisters, is that this is absolutely a prophetic picture of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you not really to imagine Joshua, but to think of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, who has won an even greater victory because he's triumphed over the enemies of death and sin, over the evil one of Satan himself. And those enemies, this very moment, they lie humbled at his feet in the dust. And he calls you, as a child of God, to put your foot on their neck. He says to you, the greater Joshua, look what God has done. So, believer, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go forward in the battles of faith to come and have courage that the Lord is with you. He's calling you to share in his victory. That's what Joshua was doing, wasn't it? Not only to recognize it, but to come and share in it. Do not be afraid of the enemies that will come against you, Christian, and against the gospel. They will be put beneath your feet. As Paul says to the church in Romans 16, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And whatever evils and troubles, sin, Satan, the world, the devil brings, everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm really saying this is a picture of the truth that's stated in Ephesians, that we heard that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our brother, our Lord, he is now exalted to the highest place in the universe. He's been raised from the dead. Death is defeated. It's destroyed. It's in pieces at his feet. And he is sat at the right hand of the Father in glory, the everlasting God-man. And as Paul emphasizes, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, Jesus is Lord. Satan and all his demonic forces are down. They're down. They're under his feet. Satan, who has deceived mankind, ruined us in the fall, and who for centuries boasts of being the God of this world, terrifying man with the fear of death, tempting us to sin, and then accusing us before God, our cunning and powerful enemy, who's a roaring lion, who's a dragon, is in chains. He has been overthrown. He has been cast down. Christ our Joshua has done it. And all worldly powers and governments, they're included in the all things that are under Christ. They're placed under his reign. Every earthly power, no matter how strong, every empire, king, democracy, all is under his sovereign rule from heaven. They're his to rule by right. The kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be brought to bow the knee and confess Jesus is Lord. But just as Joshua won the victory and then he's training up the Israelites to believe, the Lord is saying, because of his victory, believe. And metaphorically, put your feet on the heads of the enemy. Because as it also says in Ephesians, this power and this glory is for his church. It's for his body. And that we have been raised up in a spiritual sense with him to sit in heavenly places, to reign in heavenly places. So we are to be putting these things under our feet. Satan, sin, and death. We are not to be afraid to boldly face them. Whatever may come against us as Christians, we face it without fear, but in faith. Because Christ has won the victory. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is, are you discouraged by anything? By some sin and temptation? By the enemy? Or by any suffering or death? It's one of the devil's tactics to discourage us, to overwhelm us with difficulties, so we lose heart. But he is such a liar. He has been defeated by our greater Joshua. So put your foot on his neck. Don't be afraid. Whatever the trial or suffering, you face it with faith. You face it confident of victory. You are going to enter the kingdom of heaven by God's grace. You will see sin defeated. You will see triumph over death. You will be raised up. Do not be afraid. The real spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare, is to believe every day. To believe that it's true, Jesus is Lord. And live like it. What I'm saying is that it reminds me, there's a scene you might well know in one of the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's a scene where there's an evil wolf who's a servant of the Ice Queen, and she seeks to attack Peter. He's one of the children, the heroes. But Aslan, the mighty lion, who is, of course, the Christ figure, with a single swipe of his paw, he pins down the wolf, and it's defeated under his foot. But then Aslan summons Peter, and he says, Peter, you must slay this foul enemy. You must have courage and strength. And that's part of Peter in the book, growing and maturing into being a king, a son of God. And if you can picture it, that's what our scripture is saying to us. The enemy of our souls, Satan, and the weapons of sin and death, they're under Christ's foot. And he's telling you now, as you live the Christian life, as you fight the battle every day against sin and Satan, do it with confidence in faith. Victory is assured. And the Lord allows these tests and trials to come. He allows enemies to attack because he wants you to mature and grow as a child of God. So you're going to be a future king and queen in his glorious kingdom. And so you must learn by faith not to be afraid. It really strikes me when you read the New Testament how bold and fearless the apostles were. I mean, they go before kings and councils who could put them to death. And the apostles are utterly fearless. They declare the truth. They preach the gospel. They call these great, powerful people to repent. But why shouldn't they be that fearless? Why shouldn't they be? They had seen Jesus risen from the dead. They had seen him ascend to heaven to be seated in glory. What on earth have they got to be afraid of after that? They knew they served the risen, victorious Lord. And so they were not afraid. But brothers and sisters, so do you. You serve the same powerful risen Lord. So do not be afraid. The great message of this passage is look back at the mighty works of God, your Savior, and in faith go on and serve his kingdom, fight the battles that come today in faith. So do not be discouraged, brothers and sisters, that the victory is in God's hands. And so I pray that you might be able to imagine that. You might be able to see that. But of course, there is also a significant difference between Joshua and the Lord Jesus. And there's a big difference in the kinds of battles we fight compared to Israel. They fought physically with sword and shield. They fought for the literal land of Canaan. But of course, our weapons are spiritual and our enemy is spiritual. And we are fighting for the coming kingdom of heaven. But if anything, that makes the battle more real, more serious. And as I've tried to touch on it several times as we've studied Joshua, I know that a lot of Christians find these battles in the Old Testament very difficult, and the violence. And I wonder, how do I reconcile this with the gospel age we live in when we're called to preach peace and love to our enemies? Well, the simple answer is we must remember it was a different time in redemptive history. We live in the gospel age post-resurrection, when God is holding back, delaying even the day of judgment, in order to give man time to repent, in order to gather in all his elect from across the world. And so this is a time of grace and of mercy before judgment comes. Joshua and the people of his time lived in a different age, a time of judgment. They'd been given a special mandate from the Lord. They were appointed his agents of justice to bring judgment on wicked peoples who for centuries had committed abominable acts and refused to repent, guilty of the worst, most depraved things. And they had that special calling at this time of the conquest. And of course, Israel was also a nation at this time. The church existed in national form, not the international universal church she is today. And as a nation, Israel has the right to fight and defend herself, just as any nation does. And a point perhaps for another time, it's important as well to understand the nature of the conquest. And some of the language, when it speaks of people being devoted to destruction and even placed under a curse, a harem, that did not always mean the literal destruction of every living person. It meant a destruction of a nation's identity, its religion, its culture. And so Israel was set to destroy its false religion and way of life that those evil societies were founded on. Did not always mean every living person as it's sometimes portrayed to be. And there's more that could be said. But for us, the main point, as we're thinking about this spiritual conflict, is that our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. It's against lies, against wickedness in high places, the schemes of the devil. And we fight with the weapons of faith, love, and truth. And we fight by laying down our lives in service to others. We fight by sacrifice in love. Let me put it this way. The five Amorite kings were all put to death and then hung on a tree. Because in the law of the Lord, anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. They're cursed, rejected by both heaven and earth. They hang in between. To hang on a tree is to be under the wrath of God. And so the five kings were symbolically judged that way too, under the curse of God. But of course, in the gospel age, we see a very different tree and a very different death. We see our King, Jesus Christ, hanging on a cursed tree for us, taking the wrath and punishment of God for us. We have a King who has conquered through a cross, through suffering, through sacrifice, through obedience and love. He has conquered by being defeated. He's won victory over evil by suffering weakness. He dies for his enemies and so conquers them. And you could say this is the paradoxical nature of the cross, the wisdom of the cross that makes the wisdom of the world into foolishness. Christ defeats the world not with the sword, like, say, you know, Islam's approach, but through death, through self-sacrifice, through love. He wins through the cross. And brothers and sisters, just as important as being encouraged and knowing where we stand and having faith, not being afraid of the trials that come, it is just as important to know how we are to fight as Christians. And how we defeat the devil and his schemes, how we see Christ's enemies become his friends and converted, is it's following the path of the Savior. It's when we suffer faithfully. It's when we serve others in love. It's when we lay down our lives for others. See, I am concerned that in the wider church, there is a wrong spirit abroad, particularly if you go to some unhelpful places on the internet, and it's all about seeking power and standing up for Christians' rights and Christians trying to take on their enemies in politics or whatever, even using force. But it's not the way. We win by being weak, following Christ's example. We're not to fight the devil with the devil's own weapons. Our calling is far higher and more difficult. We're called, like Christ, to suffer, to be persecuted, to endure, to be laughed at, to be nothing in this world. We are called to pick up our crosses and to be rejected. But we do so knowing we're following in the Savior's footsteps, and we conquer through this weakness. We win through dying. And in fact, we do this every day, even if it's not literal out-and-out persecution, but by every day putting our sinful self to death, putting what our fleshy desires would be for ourselves to death. And by walking in the Spirit, by living a life of loving service, cross-shaped, cross-spirit-filled, shaped service to others, even to those who'd be opposed to us. And that's our mighty weapon. That's our mighty way of fighting. And we're living in such a, you know, increasingly sectarian and divided time, and everywhere's so full of conflict. I don't want you to misunderstand what I mean when I talk about us fighting and winning the victory. We win by using Christ's weapons, faithfully showing love to our enemies, suffering and sacrifice. And you do it every day when you put yourself to death in order to serve Christ and others. We conquer with love. You might think, for example, of how in the early church, it was often said the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. When Romans saw Christians suffering in the arena, but facing it with faith and grace and hope, praying for their enemies. When they saw a Christian throw himself into the Colosseum to stop others from fighting and was killed himself. That was the end of the Colosseum. Christ teaches men to turn their swords into plowshares. So brothers and sisters, there is a double lesson for us. The first is this great encouragement. See your greater Joshua. See his victory over Satan. See that he says every day, put your foot on their neck. See and stand on Christ's victory, that we are called and set free and delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Go and on whatever trials come, face it with faith and courage. But also, our calling is to faithfully endure, to follow the way of Christ. And even when death approaches, not to be afraid, but to lay down our lives because we trust in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you take great encouragement in this. May the Lord help us so to see a greater Joshua and the enemies under his feet. Amen.